What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We hope you had some great gaming since the last time you listened. And if you're new, welcome to the table. We're a podcast that works with a theme and scenario that we roll on two sets of dice. And from there, we just kind of mash them together and make something super awesome for you guys to play at your table. So, without further ado, I'm Malcolm, one of your hosts.
I'm Sam, or DM Mambo, and I'm rolling on Le Themes table today.
I am David, and I'm going to be rolling for scenario.
All right. And for those of you guys who are new, we also like to ask questions here on the show to kind of kick us off and get us in our creative mood. So with that out of the way, what is the favorite? What's your favorite NPC you've ever created?
Start us off, Malcolm.
Okay, I will start. There are two that I'm thinking of, but one that I am infamous for, and I just think it's very funny. A CSI Miami detective named Natalie Niles, who was a shapeshifter who secretly committed the crime that she was solving, and I thought it was very funny because she one accused the party, and two, anytime she would talk, she would always talk like everything she said was about to be followed by a sting. And so it was so annoying to my party that they tried to like prove to her that she was wrong about the case and ended up accidentally solving the fact that she was behind it. And I loved her so much that anytime I need a detective in anything now, it's just her showing up. It's so good. It's so funny to me. No one else thinks it's funny. I think it's hilarious. What about you, Sam? You got something?
So I have in my one of my games I'm DMing, it deals a lot with the dead and such. So we have a tiefling vampire, homebrewed blood mage. We have a homebrew race one of my players found called the Luminian, I think. They're pretty much like demi-angels that help guide spirits into the underworld and such. And so she has her goddess Milanoe gave her a spirit council familiar type person. And she couldn't wait to meet him, and it was great. And then it turned out to be this imp named Pimple. And you know, he talks like this, and he's like, "Hey, BB, it was so hot when you cast that spell." But he also hits on all the other players. And he's right now in a pink taffeta dress because one of the players is playing an 8-year-old halfling who is just pure innocence and made it for him. And he was commanded to wear it, so he wears that. But he looks like the devil from Cow and Chicken. And he does the butt bouncing thing and everything. And just in case they ever listen to it, off mic or off courting, I'll tell you like the big plot twist with Pimple. But gosh, he's so fun because I just have him pop up in like random like occasions when they're stuck on something or just in the most inconvenient times, like they were dungeon crawling and I rolled on a table. I'm like, all right, if I get a 15, I'm gonna have him pop up. And he popped up and they're like, they all rolled perfect stealth, and he's like, "Hey, what are we sneaking around for?" And it was like as it echoes through the dungeon caverns, sound bouncing off the walls, and they're just like, "Oh, god damn it, why are you here?"
Nice.
David, just your favorite one, though.
My favorite currently, I've dropped the weird AY episode we did in to a campaign I'm running. So they have like a bumbling robot friend that's running around with them. He's just a lot of fun to run. He still doesn't speak yet. They haven't taught him words, but they have taught him how to like fight things. And he's basically teamed up with the lizard folk of the group. And the lizard folk is teaching him how to eat everything because that's what they do. And so they found like a bear trap, and this robot welded it to its jaw so that it could bite things. And it's been fun to just have them run around together.
I love that. One more thing, though, David.
Yeah, what's that?
Shall we roll?
Let's do it.
All right. I'm rolling my nice white dice. Forgot where I got from. I think it's Die Hard Dice. Let's go with Die Hard Dice. I got them.
My partner got me a set of D20s. They're these like green metallic from Heavy Metal for my birthday. And they're very heavy.
So nice. So this is the part of the show where two of our hosts are going to roll themes and scenarios. And we're going to, again, mash them together to make something super awesome. So let's see what we got.
For the theme table, I rolled a 16, and it looked like that all the alcohol is gone everywhere.
For scenarios, I rolled a 15, which is an NFL draft for adventuring guilds.
So all the alcohol is gone everywhere, and the NFL draft for adventuring.
The theme is brought to you by Saltlock. He's been a very new active member on the Hive. Glad to have you. Mm-hmm. Have your name up here. That's not Combi Zombie.
We love you too, Combi Zombie. we people, love you. We gotta too. Get some new names. We gotta get some new names. And yeah, if you guys want to like interact with us more, just join the Discord. It's right there on our Twitter, which I now understand you have to find our Twitter, but that's really easy. It's at FitGDND. So FitGDND.
And our scenarios is by me. I did this one because a while back we had some members who wanted to talk sports, and D&D doesn't always like talk sports, but now we've got it. Go Bills.
Okay, so since this is sport, I'm gonna just head out. No.
That was a great episode. Goodbye, guys.
So, Sam, do you want to take lead on this? I can cover why the rum's gone, mate. Or, I'm sorry, why the alcohol is gone. But why is the rum gone? Okay, there we go.
I really like how you just said that, because I was also kind of thinking that. I think it should be the adventuring guilds have a lottery or a draft of recent graduates of like an academy or something. So maybe this kingdom has, I don't know, between, depends on how big you want to have it, but I would have at least 9 and go, you can, if you want to do football, you can go all the way to 32 if you want. But so these, let's just, for episode's sake, we'll stick with 9. So you have these 9 adventuring guilds like that are, you know, for the kingdom, and they each have a captain, and you know, you go through the trials of your PCs have to run like the dash 40, or if they're a rogue, they have to sneak by someone, you know, that do a sneaky thing. Bards have to play like a musical number or act something out or something, how your players want to play their characters, and they have to make these succeeding checks. And the, let's just say the guilds go for stars, or you know, like they get golden stars for completing missions, they get these rewards, everything. The number one guild picked last, and the less guild pick first, you know, going that order, and then it kind of like snake rotates. So at the end, you know, the last guild, who's the best guild, then picks second, and then it keeps going down and such. You have a draft order going, and that way it would be interesting to see if your players, your PCs, maybe play the captains of these guilds. So maybe you have just as many captains as you have player guilds as you have players, and then they're drafting these different NPCs or these different characters that they've made, and they're making their own guild, but they also have to work with each other, if that makes sense. So maybe like the captains are a venturing party, and they're trying to help their guilds out, but like they have to like draft different players, you know, in. If you have like a rotating like pool of players, that could be really cool too. I'm just spitting fire right now, so everything that comes in my mind, I'm just bleeding out. So
no, that's good. I know nothing of sports, and I barely know about what I'm gonna recommend. Fraternity war.
Oh, very much. That's what sports are.
Well, hang on. All the alcohol is gone by mysterious force. That does happen. That is not part of it. That happens because like evil man comes in, takes all the stuff, it goes away. And then now it's like nobody knows why all the alcohol is gone. But now all the people who have been training for this are like, we gotta get this back, man. Like the party ain't gonna, basically, let's just do a what if episode. Let's do the what if party Thor episode. But instead of it being like, oh, he had a massive party, it's like, oh dang it, he can't have his massive party because he's missing a key piece. So that would be, that is my contribution for the episode. Okay, back to sport.
Or it could be that is like the overall mission, like the first mission, right? So you're going to go have this draft, but it gets canceled because you can't celebrate afterwards because all the alcohol is gone. And if this kingdom's major export is alcohol, then, you know, that's a big major issue. So now your players are already in like a major quest off to getting drafted into this new guild.
I think what I came up with first hearing this, I feel like all of the alcohol disappearing is an amazing reason for all these competing adventuring guilds to come together, try and solve the problem. That can be, they come together, they're trying to figure out who's going to divvy up and take what teams, and someone suggests, well, why don't we split all of our rosters so that the most powerful wizards are going all together in one group, and the most powerful, you know, fighters and the most powerful rogues are all going wherever. And the leaders of the guild get to go through this draft and like pick people from either their own roster or other people's in order to form like their ideal adventuring group to go and try and figure this mystery out.
Are you talking fantasy football?
Kind of.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think that's a great idea.
If your players are like the leads of one of these guilds, you can have them have all of these, like, leads might not work. Have them be in the guild and they all get drafted together. But the leaders of these guilds are all trying to, like, at the same time they're trying to solve this, they're also trying to, like, convert some of these people over. So they're like, well, I want to get the wizard from the Blackhearts Guild because they're really good. And if they see how good we do it over here at the Golden Warrior, then they're going to want to switch.
I like this.
Yeah, I think that would be great. And then And then I think instead of maybe all the wizards are in one party, maybe you make it so like the guild are trying to create their own ultimate party. So that way your players aren't like, well, if we're going to party together and all the wizards are together, then does that mean we have to all be wizards or can we be something else? So I think you're right on. I like that a lot of the captains and such are jockeying for the best party, but they're also, you know, they're doing this on purpose so they can try to, one, like I said, trade over some players into their guild, but two, also if they can find out first, they can jumpstart and get ahead and be like crowned the ultimate guild, which is like the biggest thing in the nation. And if they get it, maybe there's a reward. So let's say the reward is if they get the alcohol and they find out where it's gone or why it disappeared, then they get maybe like 25-35% of profit coming in from the alcohol, or they can like maybe monopolize it or something like that. That way it's like an incentive of like, oh, now I'm like really gonna help my guild out a lot.
If I can add something a little different, jumping back a little ways to when we were talking about perhaps the party being leaders of different guilds, having it be that this could be kind of, I haven't ever had a chance to run a D&D session where your characters lead armies, but this could be kind of a practice for that, where you have them be able to kind of like lead a small group, and they're all working together, all these different small groups, they're just all picked to be leaders of their own small group. And so if people die, it's a lot more personable. If different things happen, it matters a lot more because you got to know your group. Even your party and people, you're still friends, but you're all kind of working now to like prove that you can be these kind of leaders that you're called to be, question mark? Does that make sense to everybody? Anybody?
Yeah, I think, so what I'm kind of now envisioning is maybe this is like a comeback story. So maybe your sessions, your campaign has ended for a while, you're moved on to something else, but you need a break from your new campaign and your players want to go back to the old one because like that's where all their powerful people are. That's where they ended up at level 17, whatever, you know. You can write it in where now those players branched out and their old PCs have become the guild masters of their each individual guild. So you have like the Golden Warriors, the Blackheart, the Flamboyant Flumps. You have all of these. And now they're coming back together and they're going to be the sole, like you said, Malk, sole commanders. They're the main party. But now they all have all these random adventurers that are coming in and be like, we want to join the fight. So now maybe they're starting off, maybe this is the initial rostering of the guild themselves. These are brand new guilds. They have all these unorganized adventurers who want to help defeat the dragon or some evil lich, you know, coming in. And now they're picking and choosing which people they want to work under them. So maybe that's where like the draft comes in. They're like, ah, Harold is a level 15 monk and he can throw lightning bolts. Oh, yes, I'd like to draft Harold to my guild. And then, you know, you keep going down the list and it's like, then you get to like the bottom rank and they're like, ah, yes, here's Tiffany. And no one ever wants Tiffany. Or, you know, that's when you get your new big bad Tiffany all along. No, what was that? Gosh, what was Cam and Rich's first? Sandra, the witch? Gosh, dang.
No, the Valley Girl Wizard. I'm lost. It's too many. There's too many references. I can't.
They're Akasha. He's back again.
You think he wanted to steal all the alcohol?
Well, I think we found out who actually did steal all the alcohol.
I do like the idea of, I don't want to keep using Rakash, but I do like the idea of a big bad who like isn't pure evil, but just is like, I don't like you. And that's like the Gary to your Red, like the person who's just like, oh, we're meant to be rivals. I don't like you. You suck. Like it could even be like a really like preppy school or whatever who just wanted to have their own party. And that way it's like, oh yeah, no, we have all the alcohol now. It's fine. We're all having a great time. We took it from those like other folks at this other school. Care.
I can't get out of my head image of a Rakasha pirate now that like looks like Jack Barrows. And I'm just like, gosh, it should just be a Jack Barrows type event person. As you said, doesn't hate you. Just like, I was out of rum. I wanted the rest of it. And now it's off to the high seas.
I was thinking of extremely goofy movie, actually. So I had a lot of thoughts about like dog people. Are they dogs? Goofy's a dog, right? Yeah. So
isn't Goofy a cow?
No. His girlfriend's a cow.
Well, I'm pretty sure cow.
No, because that's where the big like Goofy v Pluto thing comes from.
Yeah,
because they're like, why does Pluto get owned by a mouse, but Goofy can walk around and be best friends with him? Man, y'all looking too deep into these old cartoons.
I think something else, another idea, just throwing out. If you wanted to run this as like a group of one shots, you could go with the players being their own like mercenary leaders, and after the draft is run, each separate one shot would be that group running, and so the player would play play the character they made, and everyone else would have to make a character based on who they draft.
That's pretty cool. I like that. I was originally going to say that the DM gets to, like, flow out all the lost characters that they never get to play and just be like, now pick them. Pick which ones.
And you could absolutely do that and just, like, take the key pieces of information about the character and put it behind, like, some investigation checks or something like that. So if you roll really high, you find out this is a tabaxi. They are a rogue. Their high score in dex is a 16. And then, like, the better you roll, the more, like, little bits of information you get.
Hmm. That's pretty cool. Yeah, okay. This is shaping up into being something pretty nice.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Especially now it gives them a team to work with well.
Do we? Okay, so what happens? We have essentially beginning and end. We have where we figure out who did it, who's just this guy who's like, I was out of alcohol, so I stole yours. And it's like, what? He's like, I don't care about you. Who are you to me? And it's like, oh, good point.
Okay, so in Pathfinder, there is a deity that is like, one of his major things is alcohol.
I was going to say Dionysus like literally seconds ago. I'm so happy.
Like the Temple of Dionysus is the one that's putting this on. So the people who are basically running this draft aren't actually from the guild. They just have the guild as a resource. And so this draft is them making their team to go and try and find the alcohol because their divine connection to this booze demands they need to figure it out. And then you could have like a cult that is worshiping the opposite of whatever Dionysus or Caden Killian is the name of the god from Pathfinder.
Do you mean prohibition? Can we make this a prohibition?
Yeah, I was just about to look up people who are for prohibition and just kind of make up like change their names up, be something D&D-ish. But I think that would be hysterical, is this radical prohibition sober society is going in and trying to pretty much delete alcohol.
It's like evangelical Christians who are like, no, you cannot taint your body with this.
Can we footloose it? Can we just have it be that they're like, it's against the law, you better listen here. If I see anybody dancing past, it's gotta be footloose now. Come on, we gotta add some footlooseness in here. Have a dance, have a big like party of some sort. That's gotta be what we're going for.
There's just one guy who sneaks off to go get hammered in a factory by himself, and he slowly entices everyone else to come.
This is cool. I'm not adding a lot of things here because I can't sports, but this is very cool.
Sorry, I was trying to read now on prohibition to see if I can find some names that work.
It is tricky. The more going off of the morality clause stuff within prohibition and overall how that was more of a like preventing. It was disguised as moral behavior correction, but it was really more of just like a control tactic. So maybe we could do something with that.
Okay, so it's called temperance. So I'm trying to combine temperance and Templar together.
The ten princes. The ten princes. Ten princes all come together and go, no more alcohol. It's a council of ten princes all come together to say no more alcohol because their fathers won't let them drink. And then they steal all the alcohol so they can drink in secret.
Yeah, I like the idea of, and maybe it's a cult that kind of slightly split off from the main group, but they've taken the idea that temperance is holy and have tried to enforce that on kind of the rest of the world. And they do it through some magical ritual that takes away all the alcohol and they like lock it away.
Are we sticking with the ten princes?
That could be the name of the group. It's like a council of 10 people who run it.
Yeah. Your cat in the background got up. but yeah, I think that if we had it be that you have these people who have put together this council to specifically either to get rid of alcohol. I think we do know how to footloose now. It's just they're ultimately are just like adventuring is bad. It's a bad thing to do. Like they are like trying to poorly change the world and they're like no violence. None of the like all the core parts of adventuring that players want to do. Like no theft, no violence, no drinking, no parties, no seducing, no. And it's just like, oh, so automatically your party's going to be like, we got to stop these guys. They're going to ruin everything. They're already taking the alcohol. How far will they go?
Yeah, I like the idea of the 10, you know, 10 princes a lot, because then we can play with different monsters for it as well. So you can have your players either, if you do this in a one shot, take them all on, you know, one right after another gauntlet style, or if you want to elongate this and make it either a short campaign or a longer campaign, you can have your players like, oh, if you beat prince number 1, 2, 3, like, and that's where like, you know, they can gain draft picks, you know, too. So if they do better on like their missions, like, oh, okay, so the Golden Warriors took out half of the Prince Number One's units, but the Blackhearts are the dealt the final blow. So they get 3 first round picks, and the other ones get, and the Golden Warriors get 2, you know, first round pick type deal. Then you can start building your guild up even more. And it's not like the guild's like lopsided, it's just some are going to have more style of fighting than the other. They'll have a stronger core, or they'll be more balanced if they play it that way. Or if you want, like, I think this is great because your players get a lot of free agency on who's going to be working with them. So if you have a chaotic party, like most DMs do, and they just pick every single raging barbarian they could find, they're like, we got 2 wizards and 25 barbarians. Let's go. I think it just really allows them to fluctuate the game in a way of how you're going to defeat it. But I think start picking out who our bosses are going to be. And, you know.
So when it comes to councils and princes and evil folk, devils are, of course, on the table. Devils are also very lawful. So it'd be kind of fun for them to be like, oh, yes, actually, I don't believe you deserve the alcohol that belongs to us now. We're going to go, and we're going to... And it's like, they can have an adventure.
Is it like a human who, like, this group was tricked by a bunch of devils? And that's why they're splitting away from, like, their holy deity to do this thing where they're enforcing temperance? Or is it the devil themselves kind of outside of the cult? Or not using a cult at all?
What I was kind of thinking was that there's, like, 1 large cult, but, like, 10 minor cults that are, you know, like, the 10 princes are, like, the leaders of their separate cults, but when they come together, their main objective is just, I don't know if it's destroy humanity or just make life miserable type thing. Because, you know, stealing alcohol is inconvenient for a lot of people, but in the large scale, you can survive without alcohol. Like, for the most part, you can survive without it. I mean, it's not a necessary, you know, it is a necessary
so
evil.
So then would each of the
10
prince group be responsible for taking a different type of vice?
Yeah, or a different type of alcohol, you know? One could steal all the spirits, the other one takes all the rum, this one took all the beer, the mead, the wine, you know, it's slowly disappearing. So you don't have to, you can either start off with it's all gone at once, or it's like, yeah, I ordered this wine and it's just water. I don't get it. And the person's like, we just cracked, let me just pour you another glass. And they pour in front of them. And as they're pouring it, the red liquid turns clear and translucent as it hits the bottom of the glass. And they're like, what? And now it's like, how do we solve this out? And that's like Prince Number One. I've got all the wine, but they've already given it, you know, it's already in like the 10 princes layer. So it's like, once you defeat them, now you have to get the next one. And you can only get them all back at the same time.
I really like that. I still really like going down like the religious path for this.
Well, I think they all have their religious aspect to it too. I wouldn't get rid of that. Like each prince has like, you know, the princes are kind of like their own guild. They have their own religious cultist sects too that are going for them. And right now all the princes are in the same court playing the same game of F this world. Let's make it chaotic and crazy. Let's steal their alcohol first, get them disorganized. And then we can do, you know, a bunch of other
things. I really like the idea that there's like 10 humans who think that they're running this, but behind each one of them is a devil. And so they take all the wine and they're like, 100%. Yeah, we took all the wine so that it's a good thing. And then in like a back room, there's a devil who's just swimming in this big punch bowl of wine, enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
You could do devils or fae because, you know.
I think we could do a combination of both. Let's just take all the powerful monsters, like dragons, a horde of alcohol. Like I would see a dragon be like, I don't want just one bottle of brandy. I want all the brandy. You know, so I think that'd be great. Like, you know, you have an arch devil sitting in the corner in like the shadow of the human who's like, I finally done it. Alcohol is gone. The kingdom can be saved. And he's like, yes, can. And now it will be destroyed. But yeah, I like that a lot. Like 10 princes totally look human to everyone looking at them. But once the adventure parties corner them, and maybe it's even after, you know, like that second stage of the boss battle, after the human is like killed, you know, that's when they transform into the demon. Yeah, whatever the monster, and then the second battle starts.
If I may, I like the idea of having it be essentially an Iron Man 3 quest. We're spoiling a lot of things, and I'm a movie person. Where it is like, oh yeah, we're gonna fight this guy, we're gonna beat him, and you like you beat up the dude, and it's just a dude. It's like dude might have some magic powers, but it's a dude, and you take him out, and it's like, well, that was easy. And then the devil basically walks out of the shadows and goes like, yeah, it was, wasn't it? And you're like, oh no.
Well, yeah, I think
that's a problem. Yeah,
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 I think
that's what you're saying.
Yeah, I think that's totally...
I just didn't want it to be the same character.
Oh, yeah, no, no, No. I think it's definitely a meta. Like, when we say humans in Dungeons and Dragons, especially for me, I just mean any race you play.
No, I'm just saying I didn't want the devil and the human.
Oh, yeah, no. DM, switch up your voices, make it creepier type thing, for sure.
Yeah, it's a thing that is not even possessing them, but just kind of, like, guiding them. And then you're like, oh, it could be real fun if you wanted to make it look like they are angels, if you want to get real weird. And then it's like, oh, they're angels. And then it's like, no, my true face. And you're like, oh my gosh, that's not good.
Okay, I just came up with something right now. What if there's 20 guilds, 10 are for temperance, 10 are not for temperance? And that's where the 10 princes come from. The 10 guilds for temperance, you know, taking the alcohol and such, have banded together, leaving the other 10 not. So, like, there were 20 guilds, and now you have, like, teams going on, you know? Now you have 10 guilds versus 10 guilds. Now you can, like, war, basically. But the 10 princes are the ones that are trolling, you know, the cultist side, and you don't have to call them temperance or whatnot. It could be, like, an underground type of thing. Very much like Ravnica. Their guilds, you know?
No, I like that. Them kind of splitting off.
I think that could be cool.
In disagreement and calling themselves the 10 princes, trying to, like, elevate themselves above the other guild who are now not princely or whatever. I like that.
This one's cool. Sports.
And then if you have a party of 5 players, you would have them roll 2 characters each, and those could be the guild leaders for all 10.
Yeah.
If they're comfortable rolling multiple characters. I know some people have difficulty handling multiple characters at once because it could be a lot. But it's also good, you could split up your characters in a way where you have, like, different parts and different parts, like the zoom out, zoom in of a different party. So you'd be like, all right, it's Jeff's turn to run as the person who's in charge tonight. So then it's like, all right, we're all going to play NPCs and Jeff picked to be part of his draft and go that. We kind of talked about that before, but I just want to kind of reiterate that how that would kind of work now would be really cool.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I think, and now it's like, you know, even though there's a group of 10 for each team playing each other, they're still fighting within themselves to become the most powerful of each side, you know? So even though, like, the 10 princes are together, there's one prince who wants to be the most powerful. And so that's why I think it's great, because, like, you have that center guild hall where they are taking all the alcohol, and, you know, you have it in different dimensions, such like that. So, but you have that demon who is fascinated or asphyxiated on wine and captured it all. He's able to siphon it all out magically, and the whole world has just lost wine, like grape production, everything, every aspect to make wine. He is just has stolen and stored away in, like, the center guild hall.
Well, hang on a second. I really like that, because that's gonna cause a lot more of a threat a lot sooner if everything that makes alcohol starts to disappear here as well. So no potatoes, no grapes. People, like, there is a lot of stuff that people are like, hey, wait a minute, I own a vineyard. Not anymore, you don't.
Yeah.
Like, it's gone.
Like, that's the master plan. Like, it starts off small, where, like, for whatever reason, there's a magic charm where when you pour alcohol, like, we'll just start off with wine, the first one in my brain. As the bartenders or anyone starts pouring it, it automatically converts back into water, you know?
It's also very funny because the opposite of the Jesus was.
Yeah, that's the joke, yeah.
Yeah.
And so they keep doing it, and no one knows why this is happening, but they can see it being made. They can see it, but as soon as it leaves, like, the winery or the vineyard, it's gone. Like, it stops. It starts changing. So then, that's funny.
A quick idea for the name of this, or what we've been going down, is the 10 princes versus the prude 10s.
So then the prude 10s would be the bad one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ideas.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I have no idea where I left off.
Okay, so, yeah, when we have these here, I think that we can really make something interesting. The idea of having a lot of infighting is always interesting. I think something that needs to be done is, I do actually think, Sam, that there needs to be someone, like, a core person who is in charge. It's not all equal. Kind of stealing from Iron Man 3 and Shang-Chi, for those who haven't seen it. Sorry, spoilers. There is one person behind the 10 rings, so I think there should be, like, one person who's like, I'm really in charge of 10 princes, but we keep it, like, everybody kind of comes together for this. Like, it had to be somebody's idea. It wasn't just, like, all together. So you have one person who's, like, behind everyone, who's like, I made this. If you kill me, they won't know what to do because I brought together this basically draft pick. Hey, there you go. Of people who don't like the things I don't.
Yeah, I think for the good guys, it's the king, right? And the bad guys, is I would either have some, I would have sort of evil monsters. So you just choose which monster you would like focus on, and they would be the ones ruling behind the scene. So you could still have one of the princes be like Archdevil, one can be a dragon and such, but they're all still following orders of like the main person. So going back to what David's saying, with Pathfinder, there was a god who creates alcohol, and then there's a god who doesn't like alcohol, and you could have those gods like, you know, pulling strings and such.
Yeah, okay. Anything else we want to do for this one? It feels like it's wrapping up, so.
Yeah, I mean, we can decide what we want to focus on. If we wanted to focus on one of the princes, we can name them, that it out, name the guild and such, to give players, give DMs a break on finding names.
Just use random name generator, guys. It's 21st century.
Some people don't like it, though.
I don't like doing that either, but I have trouble coming up with names.
That's why we come up with the names now, Malcolm.
So, anyway.
It's not, you just take a, you take an adjective and you slap it in front of a noun. We already have three
of them.
Silly
goose.
We have four of them now. We have the Black Heart, we have the Golden Warriors, we have the Flamboyant Flumps, and we have the Silly Gooses. Boom. That's four. See how easy.
The Fighting Mongooses.
We should, Fighting Mongoose is good. I thought it'd be kind of funny to name the different bad guys off of different parts of alcohol. So you have like the Gray Goose and like the different things. And so you could have like, yeah. So yeah, you could do something with something like that. I'm not great at remembering different types of alcohol and or their mascots. So
the prancing,
my favorite type of tequila is called Spark Dog. Mm. So you have a Spark Donkey.
Okay. See, here we go. Here you go, guys. There's like three of them that are actually that fit the thing. But yeah, I think that'd be like an extra wound in, salt in the wound for your characters. Is that like, oh, they stole the alcohol? And it's like, yeah, the Gray Gooses didn't. And it's like,
that's really good. Cool.
The fun thing is if you're 21 and up, is that when you get the alcohol back, you can actually like have a shot of whatever's there. So you're like, oh yeah, like we got the wine back. And you like bring out some wine. And you're like, yeah, everybody, we got the wine back. Yeah.
That's really good.
Yep, that's it right there. They're like, we'll pass. We don't want any more. We'll pass. It's just four level 20 barbarian.
Four loco. That'd be good.
I mean, you can have like the Tequila Worm for the Sparking Donkeys. Like one of their boss monsters is like a wormling dragon, something like that.
The devil has
got like fireball, you know.
You would ever have Captain Morgan's Merry Men.
Kraken wine.
No, there's like the, oh, you could put the Kraken. You could put the Kraken in though. Oh my god.
Oh. That you're right, Noob. So cool. The purple worm, but it's drunk. Yep.
There was a thing though where alcohol called for like a while was called like the little green devil or something. So you could do like something like that. But yeah, so okay, so these are fun.
Oh, I have a replacement. No, never mind. It doesn't really fit either.
What was it?
The 10 princes versus the Heed tens. But
Okay, not bad. We'll get there. It will happen. We'll get there. But yeah, so I think we have the kind of ideas of these different things. The different bosses can be different monsters of all sorts. Let's talk about the big bad, the person behind it all. Who is the person who assembled the group? Not the king on our side, but the villain.
I think it's got to be a god or some on that scale. Or some sort of, maybe not deity, or I don't want to say like evil god or something like that, but it just has to be a large scale monster with like super intelligence, you know? It could be, yeah.
Ooh, I'm down with that. We don't use Aboleth a lot, so that's a great chance to.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that can be how it appears.
It could be Hadar, too. Going off of D&D lore, Hadar could be the one, you know, it's all has a thirst for alcohol, and it's going through the cosmos.
I'm not familiar with Hadar. What's that?
Hadar is like the evil god or some sort of entity of hunger in the world, so it just travels through space, eating and consuming everything in its path. And in this case, it's not like consuming everything, it's just consuming alcohol. And it's keeping it that in this the Ten Princes' main guild hall. And I think it does have mind control as well, so that's how it could be controlling the guild masters or like the Ten Princes, is that it's controlling them mind, you know, mind control. And you can have it go through and it's like just consuming it. So now you have like a time to like, if you don't save it in time, if it drinks all the wine, it's just gone. The memory, taste of it, everything erased from history, basically.
That's really good. And if you do use Hadar, if you have like a warlock in your group, there's a couple like spells that are related to him, and you could slowly kind of warp the spells based on how good or poorly Hadar is doing at kind of taking these things from the world. The arms turn into the bendy straw of Hadar. That's a good one, Noob.
I think that yeah, having a kind of god, big bad, and then just also that means that one point you basically get to like storm heaven as like a bunch of a drunk party.
That's good.
Just storming heaven. That's gonna be cool. Basically, you can make it Valhalla if you want to, but like,
oh, that's so good. Now that we're almost at the end of the episode, that would make a good alternate. Is
of
basically
course.
Odin decides to take all of the alcohol from Midgard in order to fuel the mead halls in Valhalla.
You know he would. He absolutely
disregard
would.
That. We're not going to restart.
No.
Yeah, just no. A, it's
no.
An option.
The episode's
just...
starting now. Play the music again. Play the music again. We're starting over. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Filling in the Gaps.
That could just be an alternate, you know, just like said David. So instead of the 10 princes, the you have still 10 guilds buying together, drafting into this mega guild, you know. And your whole plan is to go and raid Valhalla, take back your alcohol, you know, and then the unfortunate DMs listening to this, you'll have to figure that part out. But here's the seed we gave you at the tail end of our episode. Bendy Straws.
Well, real quick. Well, here, real quick, because this wouldn't be so bad, because my friend, who I miss the part so much, we haven't played in so long, we ended in Odin's prison, and what we learned about Odin's prison is that's where he keeps all the stuff he doesn't want people to have. Especially things on the low floors. So you'd have to break into Odin's prison and then survive it. Good luck, everybody. Get your alcohol back. Definitely survive whatever's in there. And maybe, you know, break some things out to help you out. Who knows? Might come in handy. Might be some allies. Might be some enemies. There. An extra seed. We're throwing all the seeds at the end. There you go. It's like bird seed. There. Man. Have it. We really need to do more like, you know, step outside the like traditional D&D and get not the game, but traditional setting. Like, explore some of this stuff. Because, like, mm-hmm. the whole thing, cool. And we don't use those a lot.
I mean, I think that's pretty mainstream these days.
I mean, it is, but I'm just saying, like...
I mean, I've played in, like, campaigns all that kind of mythology, Norse mythology. So I think North and Greek right now is just... Greek has always been... Greek and Roman have always been on fire, but we should explore some other cultures as
I
well.
I agree. I was talking to three black halflings about that, and they were like, yeah. So, who I hopefully will be on the show soon, one day, maybe. So, heard it first.
So should we head into the recap?
Who's on recap? Is that me?
It is you. I'm on synopsis.
Yep. Out. Let me think about how, like, those video games ads do it. Okay. Build your team. Go up against the ultimate evil. That is. Okay. Now, you're currently trying to figure out what happened to all the alcohol. It's all disappeared and nobody knows where it's gone. So you assemble a group of different people based off of what part of the college place you're part of and try to take those people off on this adventure to fight the person who caused it, who are apparently calling themselves the Ten Princes. Turns out that might be a front for Odin himself just stealing your stuff. So get through the Ten Princes, fight Odin, break into his prison, get your stuff back. Or just sneak into the prison, steal your stuff, hope Odin doesn't figure out, and hope Odin doesn't unleash Armageddon. Either way, have fun. Oh, also Hadar, maybe, if you don't want to do Odin. But, you know, did you listen to the episode? There you go. Did I give whoever chance it is enough time?
Yeah, I think I got one. All right. Cue NFL draft music here, noob. It's draft night for 20 adventuring guilds of the kingdom. I was trying to think of a name. It's not there yet.
Nuffletopia.
Footballium. Their king, Gudalion, is leading the 10 guilds in drafting, as he will pronounce, or not pronounce, he stands on the balcony as he looks down. There is a sea of young, aspiring adventurers awaiting their fate to see which guild they get into. First up is the Black Heart, and they have drafted a young Tabaxi who is shown promise in crafting, scaling trees, and hunt. Next up we have Grey Gooses, who have picked a kind of a wild card, a magician a sorcerer who sometimes turns into a potted plant while other times sends out a cannon fire from his hand. The sparkling donkey selects a quirky teenage halfling who is a really good cook and a very nice friend. And it goes on, your party awaits their turn and they keep waiting and waiting until finally their names are called. They are drafted into a respectable guild and are ready to see their next adventure. When they get to the guild hall, their guild master welcomes them as they meet their new teammates and guildmates, and it's gonna be a good party. You know, all their friends and family are there, the village there, the kingdom's there, all ready for the celebrating after the draft, you know, as one does after a good old draft session. You go out partying, you hear a pop of champagne, and there's no it's sparkling water gets poured out. It's just carbonated water, which is weird. Then all of a sudden you see this big minotaur throw down a mug of ale, spitting it out. All right, this is water too. And they go back and forth. Everyone realizes now that they're drinking water. And that's not the wine that they ordered. It's not the mead. The vodka that dwarves are drinking has suddenly turned into potato water. And it's what the heck's going on? Exclaims one of the guild masters. And thus, the 10 princes are born.
No, that's good.
I lost it at the end. I couldn't think.
Oh, that was a good one.
We tried, Fram. We tried.
Thanks for listening to Filling in the Gaps We Rolled. Our theme music was today by Linby off of their album Drive. If you like it, you can hear more from them at linby.bandcamp.com or on the Actual Play podcast Bombarded. You can find the show on Twitter at FitGDND, or if you want to find me for some reason, I'm at Daedra18, that is Daedra18.
I'm Malcolm. I was looking at something. I'm Malcolm. I don't have a Twitter. Don't follow me. Follow the show instead at FitGDND. It's FitGDND. And then join our Discord, and I'll talk to you there.
And I'm Sam, or DM Mambo here. You can follow me at DM Mambo5 on Twitter, or Bardic Inspiration is Bip. Bip.dnd on Twitter and Instagram and such like that. You can follow us there as we edit through that podcast that I run as well. Fun times with that editing stuff. Anyway, thanks for listening to the episode. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, like David said and Malk said, and join the Hive. We promise you it's not a pyramid scheme.
It's actually super cool, and we hang out.
The Hive is a hexagonal scheme. We choose diff shapes here. Yes, if you're able to make it to our Discord, we're always looking for new themes and scenarios to be added to our lists, or if you want to hear a specific question, get to know something at the beginning of the episode, do that warm-up question. It'd be great to have your suggestions there. Our show is edited by the wonderful audio gremlin Kat Brown, and you can follow her on Twitter at xnubinator912x. We are an Obtuse Audio Studios podcast. You can learn more about Obtuse Audio Studios at our website, obtuseaudio.com. If you like the episode, if you like the show, please give us a 5-star rating, iTunes preferably, or whatever podcasting catcher you use to listen. It really helps get the show out there and get us seen. Thanks again.
And we have merch on...
Or tell your friends! Tell your friends!
We got merch on Redbubble if you ever want to do that too. You don't have to though, but it's there. It's there. Obtuse Audio Studios. Obtuse Audio Studios.
Tell your friends about us.
Yeah, tell your Obtuse Audio Studios. Okay, goodbye. California.